Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with choreographer Kevin O'Day when he was in Philadelphia to work with members of Ballet X on his new ballet called Time Curves. We talked about the relationship between music and choreography. Sometimes music is created for dance, sometimes dance is set to music, and sometimes they're created independently. I asked him how he worked with music.
It's radically different each time. With this particular piece, with a new created score for a dance piece, I'm working with John King. And John King is a longtime collaborator of mine, roughly 24 years, and we've made a number of pieces together in many different dance companies. And since our longtime collaboration is so known between us how we work, there's a lot of independence in how we work. Depending on the piece or the company, a lot of it is that the music is and the sound is independent from the dance, with the fact that there's a duration from beginning to end and meeting points, which we then arrive at. And then some structures do have strict rhythmical linking, but some of it is only linked by distant landmarks and sound marks.
So can you use this work as an example? How did this come to be? What inspired you to do it? And how did the music play a part?
Yeah. With this piece, coming back into contact with the United States, I've been choreographed in the United States for roughly 15 years. Some of my pieces have been here, but I haven't made a new piece for any company since then. I've been more busy throughout Europe and Germany and a lot in Canada. And then coming together in contact with Christine again, which is really great. And it's just serendipitous. That's the 10th anniversary of Ballet X. I'm honored to take part. And with that, I thought Philadelphia, one of my other colleagues from my time with Dancing with Brishnikov in the White Oak Dance Project, is cellist Wendy Sutter. And so I got in contact with her and thought, since she was a Curtis graduate, maybe this would be interesting for her to take part in this anniversary. And then, oddly enough, when we started to talk about which piece of music to play, or I was more interested in a creation of a new piece, and was kind of strange, she said, you know John King, don't you? I think you work with him sometimes. And she had recently in the past was trying to connect with him to do a creation for her. And I said, yes, I know him very well. It's not a problem. And so they had missed out on the possibility in the past couple of years to work together. So this became the opportunity for him to write that piece that they were trying to get together. So that was just by chance. So there's an element of live electronics with a cello as well. So with Maximus P sound system and a sound patch that is taking the information from the live playing and also being manipulated as an acoustic element in real time, and also things that come back after they're played is involved.
So John King created this piece with Wendy in mind, and then they send it to you, or you're working simultaneously?
Well, actually, this is a rarity for me and John, that the piece of music was mostly completed, if not, well, the draft that I'm working with was in and recorded as a working recording for me to work with, which normally I don't have. Normally, the music would come in after the choreography is made, or I'll have some snippets in relationship to certain things. But for instance, there'll be one segment of this particular piece that's 6 minutes long, and there are meeting points each minute. There's a fixed cue that the cellist plays at each minute, but in between it's very free. It's all open, and the time is vectoring between the space and movement and time and sound. So we have that kind of element. So
in this case, you did kind of start with the music. You listened to the music first.
I didn't listen to the music really through because I operate very independently from the music with this particular kind of piece. But, you know, sometimes when I'm working to Mozart or Bach or Schubert or Beethoven or any other composer, I try to address that existing piece of music like it is a creation, like I'm collaborating with the composer, in the sense the spirit of the composer is then alive again and like it is a created piece for that moment of dance. So whether it's looking at the landscape of the score in a certain way, linking it up in a different way with dance as opposed to a note-per-note connection, or then really linking it in a note-per-note frame so that then you have contrast in relationship to the creation of the sound. My background is I'm a musician before, I was a classical trumpet player. So the understanding of different ways of occupying space and time with music and dance gives this kind of opportunity. And I'm always looking for a way to make a construct and a vessel that allows or demands a spontaneous rendition from the performers.
Like improvisation?
Not entirely improvisation. You can do structured improvisations with a pool of material which must be played between 1 minute and 2 minutes, for instance. That's the way the score is working. There's a material that needs to be played between 1 minute and 2 minutes, depending how it's spent. That's up to the interpreter.
Is there an idea, any sort of narrative idea behind the dance or behind the music?
I mean, with the human body, a human body is not an abstraction, so it's impossible to really abstract the human body. So when we're moving it, we're an entity of feeling and biological experience. So in myself, and then also we're doing dance movements, so our dance experiences, which are all every part of the human being, it's in it. So all those come into play. So there's, with leaving independence and space between sound and movement, also allows the possibility of independence between interpreter and viewer, and that space for them to meet and for people to feel something that might be uniquely theirs. And then also possibly when they see a second viewing of the piece, there's a different reading for them in relationship to what they might have remembered before, then puts them in another place. So there's a lot of emotional content because we're the vessel of the piece, and sound allows for that expression of the interpreters.
So there's not a narrative in terms of a story, but rather the emotions and the experience come from the movement in connection with the music, rather than having the music and the movement portray some exterior story.
Yeah, well, this piece is what we're endeavoring to do is that the viewer and the performer are in a feeling moment, so that you get a feeling from the situation. And that's precisely what dance has to come from within, and sound has to come from within, and touch people inside. And so they can feel that. This kind of work is one that people, that even though they're sitting in the chair, that they feel like they are the dancer, they are the sound. That's what we're looking for. And I think also in more traditional music or traditional dance, whether it's folk dancing or ballet or traditional modern dance, that's, or telling a story, whether you're doing, you know, Sleeping Beauty or Giselle, it still has to be, when it's successful and the audience connect, it comes from within the dancer, comes from within the performer, and it's nothing superimposed on the outside. It's an internal thing because the dancer must feel it so the audience can connect to the vibration of feeling.
It's sort of an empathetic response then.
Yeah, it must be. It must be. You know, the being alive is about feeling something, and about not thinking, but using your heart to live, you know.
Great. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.